May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, I'm sure most of you at some point in your life have had a restless night. You just can't sleep. You're up worrying about someone or something. Maybe you just can't shut your mind off, trying to work your way through all the things you have to accomplish the next day, or trying to figure out a way of some situation that you're in. Maybe you're torn up over something you've done or haven't done. You're weary and tired, but rest just eludes you. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is talking about rest, and he issues an invitation to each of us. Jesus invites those who labor and are heavy laden, are weary and burdened, to come to him for rest. Not physical rest. And it's not the kind of weariness that we experience from working outside in the Texas summer all day, but it is a burden of soul. And we know that's what Jesus means because in the next verse he tells us that in him we will find rest for our souls. Every person, I think, realizes that in the big picture of things, there's something wrong. Each of us is born with original sin. Every person is. Deep down, I think every human being realizes that things are not the way that they are supposed to be, whether things in this world, things within themselves, things with other people, something's just off. There is this nagging anxiety, even if they can't exactly articulate it or put their finger on what it is. But the world, well, really, the demons, are happy to provide a false cure for that anxiety, a promise of false rest. Now, on the one hand, there's the big ideas that a society comes up with to cure this anxiety, these grand utopian schemes. Perhaps it's the government that will give you rest by providing for everything you need. No need to worry, we've got you covered. In our day and age, we're told that it's the climate causing anxiety. The weather is getting out of our control and there's natural disasters everywhere, but don't worry, we'll fix the climate. Or perhaps the problem as described by society is that it's the culture telling you what to be like, putting expectations upon you, and what you really need to do is look inside to find your true self and just sort of let it out, live like you were meant to be. Most people, I think, choose a sleep medication that's a little more personal. Some will follow their ambition, determining, well, if I make enough money, I can buy rest. Some will seek after pleasure, assuming that scratching every itch that I feel, well, that'll make it go away. Some will seek to indulge their inbred propensity for some addiction, whether it be alcohol, gambling, shopping, whatever. Some will seek to soothe their minds to drive out the noise and the chaos around them by just heaping up more noise, becoming obsessed with sports or movies or TV or whatever. Some will look to astrology or some other Eastern system to try to figure out what their life really means. And we Christians are not immune to any of those cultural influences. We are not immune to the demons wanting us too. For they do want us. They want us to come to them for rest when they only deliver death. Consider Paul in Romans chapter 7 from our epistle reading. He is speaking as a Christian. As you were listening to that epistle, I hope you kind of heard Paul just building the tension throughout that whole reading. Paul uses not only the words themselves, but the way he sort of heaps words upon words upon words to show you how this spiritual anxiety just builds and builds until it almost reaches a breaking point. It starts out in the mind. I know that the law is good, and there is this part of me that wants to fulfill God's law, but then I step outside of myself, and I look at myself, and I see what I'm doing or not doing, and I'm just confused, distraught. Why do I keep doing those things I know I shouldn't? I can't seem to do the good I want to do. My restored will, the new man in me that wants to do good, is at war with the rest of me that wants to do evil. Paul is reaching a breaking point. There seems to be no way out. And at the end of the text, he cries out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" This is the height of restlessness of the soul. It's something I felt. It's probably something you've felt. You're at your wit's end. There is apparently no relief valve on this stress and anxiety. All the rest promised by everything else in this world has come to nothing. It's been worthless and useless and just made things worse. Who will deliver me? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light, and who gives us rest for our souls. In the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, one of our confessional documents in the Lutheran Book of Concord, Philip Melanchthon writes this: Christ says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There are two parts here. Labor and being heavy laden means contrition, anxiety, and the terrors of sin and death. To come to Christ means to believe that for his sake sins are forgiven. When we believe, the Holy Spirit quickens our heart through the word of Christ. There are then two chief parts here, contrition and faith. Faith in Jesus brings rest. When you stop and consider what really causes our spiritual restlessness and anxiety, it is, in fact, our own sin. Our sin is a heavy burden, an inescapable yoke, and the only cure for that restlessness is God's forgiveness. The solution to striving for rest on our own, the cure for the anxiety of the soul, our sense that our things aren't right, of our sin, of our fear of death, is to look outside of ourselves, not in here, not to the world's remedies for restlessness, not to put upon ourselves another burden that we are unable to bear, but to just come to Jesus. He alone gives rest. Rest for your souls. The yoke is a great way to picture our sin. You know what a yoke is? When you picture a team of oxen and there's this wooden bar across their backs. The oxen are attached to it and chains come off the bar to pull the plow or whatever it is. Or picture a person. You may have seen a picture of someone with a rod across the back of their shoulders and two big baskets or jars of water off each end of the bar. They're bearing a heavy load. And if you think of your sin as that yoke, it just keeps getting heavier and heavier. And eventually, it kills you. And then picture Jesus carrying the beam of his cross upon his shoulders. And remember that he was so battered and bruised that he couldn't even carry it anymore. So the soldiers called on Simon of Cyrene to carry it for him. Simon carried the wood, but Jesus still carried the sin. The yoke of your sin he bore. The burden of your guilt he carried so that you would find rest. His soul was in anguish as God's wrath poured out upon him on the cross so your soul could be at rest. "Take my yoke upon you," Jesus says, "for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light." Jesus gives you a yoke, a burden, the yoke of living in this restless world as his son or daughter, a world where sin and evil still hold sway. He compels you to take up your cross and follow him. But his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Jesus has already done all the heavy lifting. And so Simon of Cyrene becomes a picture of Jesus holding up and carrying the crosses that you bear. The crushing weight of your sin Jesus has carried, and the crosses that he gives you, he carries with you. And Jesus bids us to come to him. The restlessness of this fallen world persists. Just walk outside and you'll see it. And so Jesus invites us to come and be where he is. He who called you to come to the living waters of your baptism invites you to remember that you are his in baptism, and the anxiety of whether he loves you or not has been removed. He does. To assuage the worries brought about by this hostile world, he invites you to come to this sanctuary to hear his word, to receive his absolution, to receive again his blessing, to be strengthened in the fellowship of other Christians. The invitation of Jesus to come to him for rest is probably most obvious, as every Sunday he invites us to his altar, to his table, to receive the body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, to rest in the comfort of this most holy meal. The invitation of Jesus to come to him for rest is pure gospel. It's a gift. You and I bring nothing when we come here. Christ gives everything. We bring our restlessness, our guilt, our anxiety to Jesus, and in return we receive forgiveness and mercy and peace. We receive rest. We can reject the invitation. We can say, oh, Jesus, I'll look for rest on my own. Thank you very much. I'll carry my burden. I'll carry my yoke. But the invitation always stands. Jesus is always prepared to receive us. Rest is always here with Jesus. We rest in Jesus here so that we may enjoy an eternal rest with him in the presence of his glory. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.